scheduled to teach on the 14th after coming back from Bridge of Hope. And so really, just fully God's plan that we would be in today's text on Father's Day. Paul's charge to husbands, Paul's charge to fathers here. So we will read Colossians 3, 18 through 21, but in our time together, we're going to focus on verses 19 and 21, and we will focus on verse 20 will be next week that we focus on. So it says these words, "Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. And husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." So our points that you'll see in today's outline, if you don't have an outline, they're in the back. And our points just strictly follow the text for today. So our points this morning come straight from either the text, from the text that we are in Paul's letter to the church in Colossae, and through the power of the Holy Spirit to us today. And so what Paul lays out for us in today's text is how husbands and fathers are to lead their households in the love of Christ. And so Paul places a greater emphasis on men here in the whole of this text, men to step up within the home. So there's the charge to men, to be men of faith, to lead their families in a godly way, to lead their families to Christ. So Paul knows our human nature, the nature of man, is deeply sinful, and it's prone to be harsh, prone to be unloving, prone to be angry, overly critical, and leading to bitterness. So as I said last week as well, there'll be times that I'll ask a couple of questions, but if any time you have a question about the text or something that I've said, one of the goals for Summer Sunday School is that we would have greater dialogue together as we take a look at God's Word together. So knowing such truths about ourselves, about who we are, sinfully, that we've all fallen short of God's glory, Paul's command to the believer is to submit. To submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a command to each of us to submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And so our aim in life must be to please the Lord. Paul says we must look carefully. Look carefully then how you walk. Paul says to look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time, because the days are evil. That's from Ephesians 5:15. Look carefully then how you walk. So as we think about how husbands loving our wives, how we parent our children, living as wise people and looking carefully how we walk. So point number one for this morning, straight from our text, husbands, love your wives. So husbands, we read this, and wives, read this, and you go, and everybody's, we're reading this and go, yeah, that is truthfully what we are supposed to do. Husbands, love your wives. And one of the things I want us to be thinking of is, what would the church look like? What would families look like if we obeyed this? What would our world look like if we followed this? Followed God's plan for the family. Husbands, love your wives. What Paul is getting at here is what is called agape love. It's called agape love for your wife. Agape love is self-giving. So husbands, it is thinking of your wife's needs above your own. Your wife's needs above your own. We read about this self-sacrificing love in 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 7, says these words, "Beloved, Let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. So it's pausing there for husbands loving their wives, and we're gonna get here today. It is in Christ. It is because of the love of God indwelling in you, poured out richly in you. So verse 10, in this love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. So the utter foundation, the foundation of the husband's love for his wife is from the love of God. From the love of God. If the husband is not a believer and does not have the love of God abiding in them, so the point here is that in order for a husband to truly love his wife, he needs to have the love of God abiding in him. And we love because of God's love for us. We love our wives sacrificially because of God's love poured out through his Son, Jesus Christ. And you just pause for a moment and you reflect on the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. The good shepherd laying his life down for the sheep, for the bride of Christ. The sacrificial love then of the husband for his wife. The key in Christian husbands loving their wives is this: loving your wife for the sake of Christ. Loving your wife for the sake of Christ. Not just for her sake. Because if it's just for her sake, then it's earthly. But loving your wife for Christ's sake. You following me? Out of your love for Christ and out of your love for your wife, not just out of your love for her. It's heavenly. You are setting your mind upon things that are above. So this is the heart of husbands loving their wives, loving your bride for Christ's sake. For when you love your bride for Christ's sake, that is the godly way. That is the godly way to love your wife. So our main point for this morning's message is this: Christian husbands and fathers must put off the old self and put on love as they spiritually lead their wives and children. So husbands, the call and the charge and the command to us is this: love your wives. In doing so, look back with me at Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17, what Paul writes here. Put on then, so that I want you to be thinking of husbands loving their wives. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So the Christ-like husband puts on these virtues. Puts on these virtues of Christ that are listed beginning in verse 12 here. So one who puts on these virtues is one who is spiritually born again. Their hearts are being, they have received a new heart. One of those who has been born again, you've put away the old self, and in Christ only, you have received the new heart. The Christ-like husband puts on love. Puts on love. Love. Love that is compassionate. Love that is kind and humble and gentle and self-controlled and submissive to God's will and patient with one another. It is a love that is honest with each other. In marriage, you bear each other's burdens. And we're called to truly forgive one another in Christ. It is all of these virtues that above all, they lead to love. And they're all tied to love, to laying down your life for your spouse. So husbands in the room, I really want you to be thinking of, how am I laying down my life sacrificially? Loving my wife. So husbands, we ought to lay down our lives for our wives. And it is this is an outpouring here of our love for God and for our wives. Now when I think about, some of you know Katie, maybe some of you don't, but so Katie is my wife, and this year we celebrate 10 years. July 30th, this summer, celebrate 10 years, and so if you've ever read the book, The Five Love Languages, Katie's top one is quality time. And so, husbands and wives, you're two different people. There's a great book called When Sinners Say I Do, and there's so many profound truths in that book. But the reality is you are different. And one of the things that I've already said is, as you are loving your wife sacrificially, it is putting her needs above your own. So do I stand up here in front of you and say, hey, I've been perfect in this? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But one of the areas that I know that is Katie's love language is quality time spent together. So that means when we are home, that when we're sitting next to each other, I'm not on this, right? We are together, and I'm actually listening to I'm listening to her heart and what she has to say, and not just thinking of the next thing that I'm gonna say, but truly listening to her with a compassionate heart. That is caring about her day. Katie is a remarkable woman of faith. Remarkable woman of faith, remarkable mother to our two children, Connor and Teddy. She's incredibly smart. She works at Midco full-time doing data analytics. And so I can tell when she's had a long day. And it's when it's my duty as a husband to step up to serve our family. If you were to ask me truly what she does in data analytics, like it goes, I can't do her job. It would go way over my head. So she's incredibly smart. I pray you get to know her. One of the things 3 years ago when I was going through the interview process, one of the things that I had Katie do even prior to us coming here as a family and being called to the church here. So I'm like, Katie, I want you to visit. So when we were at First Reformed Church, I had Katie visit here at First E-Free. I'm like, hey, you have to be able to see if this is going to be a good fit for our family. And that was just one area, especially in transition over the past about 3 years ago, that I'm like, hey, this is out of love for you, because her role as a pastor's wife, she gives up a lot. She sacrifices a ton. And I love her for it, and she never complains. Never complains. And so husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church, is what Paul says in Ephesians 5, 22 through 25. So you can turn with me there. Ephesians 5, 22 through 25. So it begins with, and we talked about this last week, wives submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives. This is what we're going to focus on here. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Charge to husbands. Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So the husband is the head of the family, the head of the wife, and he is to biblically lead the wife in love. In love. He is to lead the wife in a godly, loving way. So husbands, we are to lead our families to Christ. We are to lead our families to Christ. We are to love our wives as Christ loved the church sacrificially. On these verses, John Calvin writes, from husbands, on the other hand, the apostle requires that they cherish towards their wives no ordinary love. For to them also, he holds out the example of Christ. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it. This is intended to express the strong affection which husbands ought to have for their wives. Let husbands imitate Christ in this respect. So husbands in the room, I don't know about for you, this is deeply convicting, isn't it? Through the power of the Holy Spirit, deeply, deeply convicting of how we are to love our wives. Paul continues in Ephesians 6, beginning in verse 26, says this, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. Because we are members of his body. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. So husbands, loving your wives as Christ loves the church, what it leads to is this. The aim is that it's to lead to her sanctification. It's to lead to her sanctification, of you pointing her to Christ, you loving her in the name of Christ. This sanctification is accomplished by the forgiveness of sins and the regeneration of the Holy Spirit, the inward transformation. 1 Peter 4, verse 8 says this, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. love covers a multitude of sins. So husbands, love your wives. We cling to this truth. Love covers a multitude of sins. The number of times as a husband that I'm so sorry for how I said that. I didn't mean to say it that way. I'm so sorry that I unintentionally hurt you. Because if husbands were honest, there's been countless times to seek for forgiveness of, hey, I'm sorry. And those are moments that you are loving your wife. You're embodying Christ-like forgiveness, seeking for grace and forgiveness. So the husbands, the way to lead your family is in Christ. It's the only way. The only way to truly biblically lead your family is in Christ. We are surrounded, one, we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses of imitating that truth. But we live in a world that we see the result of broken homes because they're not following God's design for the family. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, Paul writes this, He that is Christ, he is the head of the body, the church. So Christ is the head of the body. He is the head of the church. He is the source of life for the church. So this points to Christ's position of authority over and in the church. And the church includes all those, each of us who belong to Christ Jesus. And the church is created by Jesus. And the church is created to glorify Jesus. And the church is redeemed. The church is redeemed by the blood of Jesus, by a sacrificial love. So the way to lead your wife is to sacrificially love her, as Christ loved the church and laid down his life for the church, for her. So husbands, the charge and the call is this: to be imitators. To be imitators of Christ. Not just at church on Sunday morning, or at Bible study, or maybe at work, but in the fullness of your life. Our greatest ministry as husbands and fathers is within our homes. It's our greatest ministry. So a little bit, we'll have a little bit of time here for a conversation. So to the husbands in the room, I'll give you time to think. To the husbands in the room, what does it mean for you to sacrificially love your wife as Christ loves the church? Maybe that's either in your life, or you have seen somebody do that well. And maybe it was your own father that set that example for you. It's a question for discussion here. Here's what we do. We'll do this youth group style. Turn to the person next to you. And if it's your wife, you can share with your wife, or the person sitting behind you, beside you. So to the husbands in the room, we'll discuss here, and then we'll bring it up front for discussion too. What does it mean and look like for you to sacrificially love your wife as Christ loved the church? Ready, set, go. All right, if you're talking with your wife, you can continue the conversation at home. But someone give me an example here. What does it look like for you? Or seeing somebody else imitate that well? Love to hear a response here. Who has something they'd like to share? John.
I'm sitting close to Jim Van Gerven, and he reminds me of this story just by being here. In 1985, I was part of a basketball group, informal. Believe me, it was informal. But we had a game on a Sunday afternoon, and it was a big deal. But the same Sunday afternoon, up popped an event in Karen's family. Take a family photo of all things. And so you came to show up later after the thing. I had to choose one or the other. And I said to my basketball buddies, can't be there. And I did the photo. I'm still in the photo. It's on my wall. I'm in there. And every time I look at it, actually, the reason I say Jim, because afterward, you were part of the group, the team, or you heard about this. And he said this sentence to me. I'm going to paraphrase it. We didn't marry these girls to make them unhappy.
Ooh.
That is a really minor sacrifice, but a major point that I remember Jim saying. And when I was listening to him, he said, you remember saying that? You remember saying it? That's 41 years. Anyway, that's my example.
That's great.
It was a minor thing, frankly, but it turned out to be a big deal.
It's an act of love. That's good. Thank you, John. Nick?
I was just going to say, when they pride gets in the way a lot, they don't have to win or anything. It shouldn't be my goal, but they often do.
Amen. That's exactly right. I can think of the number of times pride gets in the way. All right. So I want you to continue to think on that. It's a good question to think on. And to question for women here. When your husband loves you as Christ loved the church, why does it make it that much easier to submit to your man? So again, the question is this. When your husband loves you as Christ loved the church, why does it make it that much easier to submit to your man? I'm just kind of looking around and ladies are giving head nods. Go ahead. Amen. Yeah, you're not just hearing the I love you, you're seeing it, you're feeling it, you're experiencing it. That's great. And within the context of marriage, just the sheer importance of for married couples to pray together, to submit themselves to the Lord together as a couple, to pray together, to study God's word together. To spend time together. Point number two is this. Husbands, do not be harsh to your wives. Husbands, do not be harsh to your wives. So through the power of the Holy Spirit, it's deeply convicting. I know as a husband, I hear this and I go, I can, my mind can just fill with times that I've, like I said earlier, you can go, I'm so sorry I said it that way. You have to check your, I will hear the, hey, it wasn't what you said, it was how you said it. It was how you said it. So it's deeply, deeply convicting. So Paul addresses husbands within the church to love your wives, and don't be harsh to them. So you can feel the stark contrast here. You can sense the dissonance between the two. I appreciate what a commentator writes on this passage. Commentator Herbert Carson writes this: "If the wife offers obedience, it is in the context of the husband's love. There must be no self-seeking on the husband's part. For Christian love, as exemplified supremely in Christ, is far removed from mere natural love in that it seeks primarily the good of the beloved rather than the satisfaction to be gained from the relationship. Negatively, the husband is warned of the danger of petty tyranny when bitterness or harshness usurps the place of love." So I want to say one line of that again. The danger is this: it is far removed from the mere natural love in that it seeks primarily the good of the beloved rather than the satisfaction to be gained from the relationship. So when the focus is on the satisfaction of the husband to be gained in the relationship, so focus selfishly on self in the marital relationship, that's when the root and the danger of tyranny, and when bitterness and harshness begins to come up in marriage. So husbands, what we must do, we must call upon the name of the Lord. God, examine my heart. Examine my heart to convict us of sin, to lead us in repentance, and loving the Lord, and loving the Lord and loving our wives sacrificially, and for God to restore us, for God to restore our marriages in Christ, in Christ-like love, and in forgiveness. Proverbs 18, verse 22 says this: "He who finds a good wife, he who finds a wife, finds a good thing. He who finds a wife, finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." So husbands in the room, thanks be to God, right? Thanks be to God for the suitable helper that he has provided for you. Thanks be to God. We must meditate on this truth of who he has placed in your life. My prayer for us is that our marriages would continue to grow in Christ. Marriages take work. I can think of it this past week. I brought our minivan. We'll be going on vacation in the middle of July, so we're getting the van ready. Getting new tires this next week. We're getting the timing belt on, getting some work done on the brakes in a much different way. Our marriages need continual maintenance of turning continually to the Lord Jesus Christ. So he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Husbands, so we must be reminded of God's loving kindness toward us in providing the wife in which he provided us with, and to give thanks to the Lord for his provision, for his sovereignty. So in keeping with loving our wives, Paul charges husbands, saying, in loving your wives, do not be harsh to them. To be restrained, and to truthfully have moments, bite the tongue, but also be praying that, God, I pray that you would transform my thoughts and how I even think about my wife. So love your wife. Do not be harsh to her in what you say, in what you think, in how you behave, in your tone, in your actions. So marriage is work, and it is blessed work. It is the work of the Lord. Christian marriage is the work of the Lord. It is a gift from God. It is a joyful covenanting between one man and one woman. And the book of Proverbs is full of wisdom for us to heed, to implement in our lives as we submit to the Lord, and as we go about submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. In Proverbs 18, verse 13, we read, "If one gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame." I know it is one of Katie's pet peeves of mine, so this is a me thing here, of doing the active, not acting, doing the listening, doing like the head nod while you're listening, and not actually truly listening. You're thinking about what you're going to say without actually hearing your wife's heart. So this is something that the Lord has worked on in my life, of knowing when to close my own yapper and to listen. That's part of that quality time. A way of loving her well is to listen to her well, to listen to her heart. So husbands, do not be harsh to your wives. In Romans 3, those who have no fear of God, this is Romans 3:18, those who have no fear of God are said to be filled with cursing and bitterness. And in Hebrews 12, verse 15, a lack of grace is understood in terms of bitterness. Lack of grace is understood in terms of bitterness. Hebrews 12, 15 says, "See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled." See the correlation there. And we read these words in Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 31. Paul writes this to the church: "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice." And there's a shift here. "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." So verse 31 here begins with putting it all away, put away bitterness. Paul says to the church, put that all away, this vice list here in verse 31. Put away all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander. Verse 32, to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. So Christian husbands and fathers, we must put off the old self. Put off the old self and put on love as we spiritually lead our wives and our children. Again, prior to our text for today, Paul writes in Colossians 3, verse 14, says this: "And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." So for husbands, how I think of godly love within marriage, as you love your wives, think of, I have an acronym for love, and it's this. So L is to look. Look to the Lord. Look to the Lord in all things. The O of love is to outdo. To outdo each other in showing honor. The V of love is to value. To value her means to cherish her, to rejoice in the wife of your youth. And the E is this: endure. Love endures all things. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7. Love endures all things, and in him, his love never ends. So in 1 Corinthians 13, we read these words: "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but I have not love, I gain nothing." I've seen many men commit themselves to their career in the focus of providing for their family. Now, that can be great. And that can be godly. And it needs to be done in a godly way. But when it is solely focused on self-reliance, and it is not focused on the love of God and the love for your family, it's nothing. Just buying your wife nice things for her without loving her isn't love at all. Paul says you gain nothing in that. Come back to this truth of, and as we read these words from the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, I pray that the Lord would convict us and lead us in repentance and holiness to love like Christ. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. A quick way to bitterness in marriage is keeping a record of wrongs. Right? How easy it is to do, not just in marriage, it could be within the church, within the family, within for all of our relationships. A quick way to bitterness is keeping a record of wrongs, and when we do so, it's not love. Thanks be to God that Christ wipes our slate clean. He wipes our slate clean and forgives us of our sin. So husbands, we must be loving and gracious to our wives. Point number three is this. Fathers, do not provoke your children. Fathers, do not provoke your children. And we're going to focus on the role of children next Sunday. So don't think we're skipping it. We will focus on that next Sunday. Some of you may know, some of you don't know. Katie and I, we have two kids, Connor and Teddy. Connor turned 5 this past May, and Teddy turns 3 tomorrow. So it's gonna be a fun day together tomorrow. But as I think of my own children, and I think of Paul's charge to us as fathers, we know it's incredibly true. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. I love what Pastor Kent Hughes writes on this verse. It says this, parents, fathers, discipline is to be given, but so is encouragement. Obedience is to be nurtured by love and praise. We must never cause our children to lose heart. Read that again. We must never cause our children to lose heart. And Hughes goes on to write, another kind of father who exasperates a child is the one given to irritability or grouchiness. Most people maintain a placid veneer at work because they have to do so. But at home, only the Lord knows how many children lose heart because their fathers have had hard days. That's deeply convicting. Now, is discipline needed within the home? Yes. 100%. So what Paul is not getting at here is he's not saying to refrain from disciplining your children. He's saying to restrain your anger, to control yourselves. So we're in today's day and age, we are watching the effects of a generation, frankly my generation, of parenting that is called this gentle parenting, of a lack of discipline. Like, yes, it's great to talk through your emotions with your kids, but you need to have godly discipline. So Hughes goes on to write, to refrain from discipline is act, To refrain from discipline within the home is an act of hatred toward our own children. It's unloving, it's unloving indifference, and it's cruel permissiveness. But at the same time, our discipline must be given with encouragement. So that's what I want to encourage parents with, is our discipline must be given with encouragement. Remember, love is patient and kind. So in I could share countless ways of disciplining Connor and Teddy. Like, you just have the context of sitting down for a meal at the table, and one of the difficulties that we face is eating your food. Now if I was to be harsh to get them to eat their food, are they going to eat their food? They're most likely not going to. Now, have we had to have times of, hey, you're gonna eat your dinner in timeout, and you don't leave from timeout until you finish your food? Yeah, like we have had those moments. But in those, to be loving, to be kind, to restrain anger. Right now we're teaching Connor how to ride a bike. If I was to be harsh with him and to discourage him, he's not going to want to ride his bike. I could give countless examples in parenting of even with Teddy, like in moments where I have disciplined him and my tone has been too harsh, like his body language shows. And it's, hey, I'm sorry. As a father, like there are moments as a father that you have to go, hey, I was too harsh on that one, and many times of, I love you, Daddy, that I love you and I forgive you. Ephesians 4:29 says this: Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So when I think of being a father and raising Connor and Teddy, a huge piece that God has given me is to be responsible and to care for their soul. So what I think about is how I treat them, how I talk to them, how I act within the home, how I father them and love them, creates their inner voice. It's part of creating their inner voice, of how they think of themselves as well. So as parents as a whole, we must encourage our children. If your children are grown and don't live in this area, my encouragement is encourage the children within this church. Encourage them within the faith. And looking around this room, many of you do that. Many of you are doing a fantastic job of building up the church. So along with what Jenny said, just sign up to serve at Vacation Bible School. So children long to be loved and encouraged by their father. I can think of the countless times that Katie and I have rocked our boys to sleep. Now we are past that stage of rocking them to sleep, but praying together at bedtime, doing devos at bedtime, and one of our favorite artists that we hook up to Spotify and play some lullabies. The artist's name is JJ Heller, and in one of her songs says these words, and these words are played over and over almost every single night for the past just over 5 years. Says this: may the good Lord bless you and keep you and fill you with his peace. His face will shine upon you even as you sleep. Every day you're changing. Sometimes I wish it wasn't true. Hearts are made for giving. I've given mine to you. So as parents, we must never, no matter how old your kids are, we must never give up on encouraging your children in the Lord. That's even if your kids have, even if your children have walked away from the Lord, pray and never give up. We would, as a church, as pastors, we would love to be praying for your kids. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says this, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." So as parents, we must be reminded that our children, no matter young or old, no matter their current behavior, are a blessing from God. We hear these words from Psalm 127, verse 3. "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward." So on this Father's Day, the encouragement to all fathers is to encourage. And to encourage and love and discipline your children in the Lord God Almighty. To love your kids in the Lord and to lead your family well in pointing them to Jesus. So what would the church look like if fathers and mothers together were faithful to God and his commandments for us? We'll close with these words from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, words that are familiar and a wonderful reminder as we go forth in this Father's Day. It says these words, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they should be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." So families would be transformed inwardly through the power of the Holy Spirit if we walked in this way. So the encouragement, the command here is to live this out. To live this out. I invite you to pray with me. God, I thank you for marriages in the room. Lord God, I pray that you would protect each marriage represented within this room. Pray for those that maybe their spouse has passed and gone to be heavenward in Christ Jesus, and Lord, we praise you. And we cling to the hope of heaven. Thank you for the children in this room. Pray that us as children would be thankful for our fathers, for our parents. God, we pray for your protection over the Christian family. That God, that we would love you well and abide in you in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.